Hey everyone, welcome to Four Mom Friends. My name is Gina.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Megan.
And as you can tell, we are one mom short of four mom friends. Our friend Liz is focusing on being a new mommy to her adorable baby boy, Oliver. But we do get to see her on our group chat for Marco Polo, which is kind of the reason we started this podcast, which in short is for basically everyone.
Awesome. Let's jump in. So I really want to talk about this. I've been itching to talk with you all about this. The college admissions scandal, which hopefully everyone who's listening has heard of, the Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman and many other executives and high-powered, maybe even celebrities or famous people are being brought up on charges because they went to great lengths to get their kids into college. And we all have kids, obviously, on this show. And if you're listening, you might have kids too. And so we know there's kind of this, like, I would do anything for my kid idea or mentality. But I guess my question is for you, mamas, how far would you go? You know, is it breaking the law and willingly and knowingly breaking the law that you would you do that? Or is it more like you would ethically step over the line to help your kid get a better shot? I don't know. Tell me what you think.
It's so tough. I mean, you want to do everything you can. You want to see your children succeed, but how is breaking the law for them, getting in somewhere, having someone else take a test for them, going to help them succeed in the future? So sure, get you into college, I get you into a high school, whatever, but how is that going to make sure that they can succeed in school, pass those tests? I mean, you know, I know some of those schools. I went to one of those schools. It's not easy. And you can't just expect that someone else is going to always be there watching every step you take. And, you know, I thought today as I was putting my son to sleep, we're in the midst of potty training, right? He's so good during the day, but nap time and bedtime is hard. I almost forgot to change, like have him go potty and, you know, put a towel down and have that conversation with him. And if I didn't, I would, and he peed in his bed, I would be setting him up for failure. And I feel like it's really similar.
Yeah.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. Like, I feel like it's all in preparation, you know, like if you didn't do your job and help them to prepare them for those things, then why are you doing it in an illegal way? You know, we're not raising children to be college graduates. We're raising them to be respectable human beings at the end of the day. That's, for me, is what being a parent is about. It's not making sure my kid is going to college so that he can graduate from an Ivy League school and become a doctor and become a lawyer or anything like that. It's basic, he needs to be, and or she needs to be, a good human being, adding to society and making society better. And you're not really showing them that if you're doing things in an illegal manner in the way they did, I feel.
I also feel like, okay, so this is sort of the same situation, but on a really small scale. There's a preschool in town that's really hard to get into. And I didn't know that it was really hard to get into when I first sent an email. But when I sent the email, I told them who had recommended the preschool to me, which was my boss, who's married to a former Patriots player, New England Patriots player. And because I mentioned her name, we got an interview right away, or not an interview, but like a tour right away. And as we're on the tour, the director is talking about how many kids are on the waiting list and how long some kids have waited. And she literally pointed to a child and said, he waited 2 years. And, you know, quickly Charlie questioned and was like, well, how soon can Penelope get in? And she was like, oh no, Penelope can get in right away. We can save a spot for her. We can take care of it. And I didn't really put two and two together, but we left and Charlie said something to me like, well, how come there was no wait for Penny, but that kid had to wait 2 years? And when I brought it to my boss and I said that, and she was like, well, it's because you know me. Like, did you tell her you knew me? And I was like, yeah. And she said, well, that's why. And I sort of think about it. It's like, well, it's not that I wouldn't take that spot at that preschool because it's sort of unethical for the kids who do have to wait. I think I would step over an unethical line for my kid. But I think I wouldn't cross the illegal line.
Right. And I think that's the difference.
It's always, yeah, but I think it's also, I mean, not that they were in the same situation as other people, but I think we all, us three, have been lucky enough to be in a place in our lives where we can send our kids to certain places and be lucky enough to have access to certain things. And I think if we look at it from a different point of view, maybe not celebrities, but I mean, what about the people out there that, I mean, I would love to get feedback from anybody listening about what would you do if you didn't have access? Like, is it okay for those people that don't have that access to do those things, to kind of skim the rules a little bit? I mean, do you as parents think for them, is that okay? Like, if that was a situation, would you be a little bit more lenient? Like, because they don't have, their children didn't have the same access?
Alex,
I formulate.
I see you thinking. I mean, Gina, I agree with you.
I'm just trying to think like out the box, like if for any other person there that's like listening, like, well, my kid,
what
I
is would the other totally, side of it? Like, yeah, I need someone to explain it.
I feel like
it.
There are people out there to be like, I would. I mean, my child doesn't get this, and this. You know, not everybody out there is as lucky as other people. And you know, for them, that could be the only option to get their kid out of the spot that they're in. And they don't want their kid to wind up in the same situations that they're in. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, yes, but I also think that those people generally, if they were not in a position, they wouldn't be able to probably break those laws, like writing those big checks and all that kind of stuff.
Well, think about it in a different way. Like maybe it's not, it's like such like a movie plot, but not money, but like changing paperwork, right? Changing documents. Yeah. I mean, lying. Actually, I think probably one that happens a lot is lying about your ethnicity, right? Yeah. So, you know, would you be, I mean, I guess it's against the law, but it's not, I mean, I have no idea what the
repercussions are. Yeah.
But, you know, would you lie about your ethnicity to get in somewhere? I mean, I don't think I could because I am extremely white.
Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, you know, I feel like it's, I know a lot of people probably do it around here because some of our elementary schools are good and some of them aren't good, but even like lying or, falsifying addresses or whatever to say that they live in a different part of the town. Again, I feel like that's hard
but I also feel like that's
smaller
different
lies.
But I think it's different in that, okay, there's one thing about saying, I'm going to pay $100,000 or whatever it was to get their kids into USC or whatever other schools there were, just to get them into a college or to pay for someone to take their tests for them versus trying to break the kind of law or the ethical line to get them into a school so you don't have to do that. Does that make sense? So you're by falsifying an address to get them into a school, you're still trying to give them the best opportunity.
Yes, I know what you're saying. Yes.
Versus saying, well, you didn't figure it out on your own. So
Right. By the time you get to college, I agree with you, Alex. I think it's a little bit different. Like your whole life as a parent, Gina, you said this earlier, is like to prepare them to be good people and to be successful and capable and able and independent. And if you haven't done that by the time that it's like ready for college, that's on you. Like you did not do a very good job. I agree. I think elementary school and preschool and all that kind of stuff is definitely different. And even maybe high school, like I don't think you should, I would never lie to get my kid into a high school. If there was like a private high school that she wanted to go to, I would never lie to get her in. If she can't get herself in, the only thing is I work as a fundraiser. I see a lot of like, well, he's a big donor. She's a big donor. Like we should keep them happy. Whether that's like, you know, giving their kid an internship or doing something, like I sort of feel like money talks in that regard. And I don't think that that's that bad. You know, if someone does make a big contribution to a school legally and ethically, and you want to push that kid's resume to the top of the list, but their resume still has to like fit the qualifications. Like,
yeah. You'll have to prove that they're worth it.
Yeah. Like I'm okay with that. Like if Joe Smo's, you know, kid's resume gets seen by a president where most other kids' resumes don't, like, okay, fine. You paid a lot of money. It stinks. It totally stinks. And I'm not the kind of person who's ever had that access. So like I would maybe be the kind of person who feels like that's not fair to me because my resume didn't get looked at by a president or a CEO or whomever. But like, if that's what money is buying people, then at least that's not illegal. It's unethical, but that's not illegal.
And you can't change what other people do and think. So
I know
you have to, you know, stick to your own.
I think the other side of it is that like for the kids who don't get in or don't have parents who can write those big checks, it's not just college that they're going to have like these uphill battles. Right. So
yeah,
if my kid were to come home from, you know, senior year of high school and say like, Mom, Sally got into USC and I know she has terrible grades, but her parents just paid for it. I'd look at her and be like, listen, there's going to be Sally's for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And you just learn to deal with it and you can only worry about you and try your best and do your best and fall, you know, not fall in line, but like figure out where things are going to be successful for you and climb that ladder and like forget the Sallys because they're everywhere. That doesn't end in high school and college. That's work. That's everything. It just keeps going. So,
yeah, I think that's like the best takeaway anyone and lesson anyone could have, because that's so completely true. No matter where you are in life, what spot you are in life. I mean, I'm 32 and still learning there are Sallys out there. There are things that I have to overcome and do. And you're completely right on that note. And I think that is a great way of looking at it, Megan.
Also, really sorry if your name is Sally. Sally, if you're out there listening, send us an email. We're so sorry. We love you.
You should have chosen like a less common name, maybe.
that's why.
You know, is Sally even a common name?
I know. It's 2019.
But the only one I think of is Sally Fields.
Sally Fields.
The only one.
I love her.
I know. You know what? If there was a story of my life, I would have Sally Field play my mom. Doesn't she kind of look like her? Come on, give me a guess. maybe just in my dreams.
Yeah, I mean, okay, maybe.
I mean,
they're both they're short, brunette, little brown-haired women white, with dark eyes. And they're white. It doesn't get any easier than that.
Lucy Liu could play my mom. Like,
Lucy Liu could play you, Gina.
Those of you who are listening and don't know what I look like, I'm just Asian. Like, I'm just out there. That's why that reference was made. It's because I'm Asian.
I mean, yeah. So wrapping that up, I love that you all kind of think the same, but I've been hearing so much about it, this college admission scandal. I've been reading about it. I've heard other people on podcasts talk about it. And it seems like there's a lot of excuses being made for them. And I think like partially because of we see them, like we especially see Lori Loughlin as like one of America's sweethearts. And I mean, Felicity Huffman has never had a scandal really in her life and has had this very long, you know, healthy marriage, and they've never really been attached to a scandal as a couple. And it just sort of feels like the world, the community, whomever is trying to give them a pass. And at the end of the day, I just feel like what they did was very illegal and really immoral. It's, you know, it jumped way over ethical lines, way over illegal lines. I wouldn't do it. And also I would feel like my daughter would be incredibly disappointed in me if I ever did something like that. You know,
yeah, I mean, yeah. God forbid.
I would feel your child would feel like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah. I mean, I really
do you not believe in me.
Yeah.
I really hope that they didn't know, but I mean, if someone's taking a test for you or helping you pass a test, I mean, and you don't realize, then there's a whole nother discussion that needs to be had. So
Yeah. I agree. It's
so
kind of a bummer.
Learn, kids. Stay in school and do your work. Because these moms aren't paying shit for you. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. To end it on a more positive note.
I know. What a bummer. What a Debbie Downer that was. All right, guys.
So I think something
great
kind of
Debbies.
Fun to do. With a lot of Debbies, a lot of Sallys. We kind of had this fun idea of ending all of our episodes with a version of Never Have I Ever. mom edition. What's like a shameful mom thing you've done? And I mean, okay. Ooh,
mom shame.
I mean, we know, like, I think everyone can raise their hand, the hiding in the bathroom just a little too long to have your glass of wine or have your chocolate. But I think Megan might have one of the best.
Oh, I always hide myself in a private room. So I give my kid a decent amount of candy, but I myself eat way more than she's ever allowed to have. So I do have to hide all the time to eat my chocolate. Gina, do you even eat chocolate?
No. Sorry. I'm the worst person ever. I was thinking something else when you said chocolate and eating. Okay. My husband is also Asian. my mind went totally different. You guys, I'm just very fertile at the moment.
Someone ovulating. Are you ovulating?
No sex for you.
I don't eat chocolate very often. I'm more of a salty, savory person than hiding. I hide in my car. So I stay in my car when I get home for a really good while. But my kids hear it sometimes, and now they know how to open doors. So they're like, Mommy. And like, now I can't just hide in my car and pretend that I'm not home yet. I'm not on this boat.
Have you ever put your kids to bed way before their bedtime? Just get a little bit more alone time with your spouse.
That one's hard. I don't know if it's been way, but I've definitely like on the nights more, more about alone time than spouse alone time. But I've when therapy is not home.
Alex would rather spend time with herself than with Jeremy.
No. No, but when he's not home, I might be like, all right, can I get him to bed like 20 minutes earlier? Just some quiet time before daddy gets home.
It's true.
It's very true. Yeah. I mean, John works nights sometimes. So yeah, sometimes I'm just like, just go to bed. But also sometimes I'm too tired to – I'm not going to lie. I'm too tired to try and go through that game of putting both my kids to sleep that I'm just like, here's a Kindle, here's an iPad, just kind of play by yourself. Mommy's going to be here. I got the door open a little bit so I can hear them. And my son's 7, so he'll come if anything. I would hope you would like run and tell me to happen. But yeah. Yeah, not with my spouse. We just kind of have our alone time whenever we have our alone
time. Whenever, wherever.
And sometimes it doesn't work out that we're alone for that long.
Oh my God. Is that the next question? Have your kids ever walked in on you?
Thankfully, Elijah will not leave his bed, even though he can.
Oh, he's so lucky.
He's like, I don't know. He's afraid to get out of bed until I come and open the door.
I remember that.
I don't know why, but I
until you have that second kid.
Yeah.
Well,
I remember that phase when Penny never got out of her bed, so it didn't matter. Like, we, you know, it was on all the time. But now she gets out of her bed and can open her own door and can open my door. So the answer, I mean, yeah, my answer is yes. Only once, but it was traumatizing enough for me to like never really want to do it again.
I don't think I've heard this story.
It just happened. Like, honestly, like maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago.
I was like, what was this? Like, I don't know this about you. I know maybe, a lot about you.
Maybe even longer. Maybe a month ago.
Sexual encounters.
But, I mean, honestly, it was like the first warm night here in Massachusetts. So it was like finally we weren't sleeping in like sweatpants and sweatshirts. It's been cold, you know? And so, yeah, the stuff was happening and all of a sudden, like, so I couldn't hear her come out of her room and she wasn't crying. So usually if she wakes up and she needs us, she'll cry. And that's, you know, enough for me to like hop up and go take care of her, but she didn't cry. So she was just made her way out of her room and into my room while both of us were pretty naked, and it was I had just, you know, obviously gotten whatever I needed, and so I was good. Like, poor Charlie, like, jumped up, threw on some shorts, and scooped her up and took her to her bedroom. I just fell asleep because I was like, done. But the poor guy, like, took like 20 minutes to put her back down to sleep, and then came, you know, back in the room, and I was sawing logs. And so he, I'm sure he handled it himself. But like, yeah, that has happened. I mean, I feel like it's bound to happen more now that she's like even older. But
I did it as an adult with my parents.
That's terrible. That's terrible.
Do you hear that story? I don't know. Are your parents even going to listen to this?
I hope not. No.
Mom, so dad.
We won't say so this story. Mom, dad, about this podcast.
Don't listen to our story.
How you traumatized me. I was traumatized too. Don't worry. And like, you guys know my parents. They're super, super religious, like Catholic. So like, the fact that I've seen things is even worse. Like, I feel like it's almost like sacrilegious, like, for them to be doing that. They're so old. And like, you know.
Yeah. They're so old. Is that what you said?
Not holy.
Oh,
they're
holy.
So holy that it's like sacrilegious for them to be doing stuff like that. Like, they just shouldn't.
That's really funny.
But I've seen things. I've seen things. But anyways, back to our game. We'll get into that. That's for another time. Have you guys ever texted? Oh my God, have you ever texted your child's daycare provider about a blowjob? I, for one, am not this person.
It's not me either. So that only leaves one other person.
And my poor husband. Like, I mean, I have really bad jaws. So obviously,
okay, fine. It was me. I have done this, and I'm not gonna lie. It's one of the most embarrassing things I've ever done. But here's the true story, you guys. It was the first day of her going to this daycare. She was only 6 months old, and it was an in-home daycare. So it was like a really nice woman who had like four or five other children. That was it. And I had met her briefly, and then Charlie dropped off Penny that morning. And then I was set to pick her up. But she had the same initials as like one of my high school buddies, literally like a guy. And it was his birthday. And I meant to text him, but I accidentally texted the babysitter, the daycare lady, and I was not offering, by the way, a blowjob. I was saying to him, like, happy birthday, I hope you get, and I, like, listed all of his favorite things, like a Jack and Coke and a whatever. I was like, I hope you have this just awesome day for you, complete with a blowjob. And I hit send, and immediately, like, I realized it said Joan instead of John. And I was like, oh! I was like screaming at my desk at work. And I like went into a full blown body sweat. Like, cause you can't resend a text message. Like, it was just there. And then I see the typing bubbles. And I'm like, oh my God, what is he gonna say back to that? Like, so before she fired off her text, I just wrote back, I'm so sorry. That wasn't for you. Oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed. Like, please don't think less of me. That was for a friend. And she wrote back, I was going to say something really naughty back, but I don't know you that well. And I wasn't sure if you would be. She was like, I wasn't sure if you'd still want to leave your kid with me. But she was like, I have four sons. Like, I know what it's like. I had four sons. It's totally fine. And then I picked Penny up and my face could not have been redder. I was like, groveling. I'm so sorry. Please, like, I'm in like my business clothes and I look all fancy and I'm like, I'm a really dignified person. I'm like begging for her forgiveness. But she was laughing. She told me it was fine. And then yeah, we didn't stay there much longer.
Did she ever tell you what she was gonna text you?
No, she didn't. I didn't really ask. I was mostly just like apologizing. I probably didn't even let the woman speak when I got there. I was just like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Please don't tell my mom. Like, it was so embarrassing. But honestly, now I never forget my buddy Johnny's birthday because that day is like burned into my head. Does he know that? Oh, he knows. I screenshotted it and I sent it to him and he was like, that's the best birthday present ever. The fact that you texted your kids take care about me getting a blowjob. I'm like, I'm sorry. So weird. So yeah, there it is, guys. Listen, you might be having a bad parenting day, but you didn't text your kids daycare provider about a blowjob. So you're still winning in my book.
I mean,
very, very, very true. I don't think anybody...
Oh, I was just saying, unless if you have, and then we want to know.
Unless you have, yeah, and then call us.
True. I do want to know stories. If anybody has stories such as Megan's, I mean, it could have been worse, Megan. You could have just texted a picture. Like, it could have been like a text between you and Charlie, and it'd be like a picture of just like your vagine or your titties, or I don't know how you and Charlie talk to each other these days. I've never done that. But you could have texted like things. And if anybody has, I would love to hear it. And we can even feature it. We won't have to say your names. Yeah. Just it'd be a great story to share.
Yeah, it's just for us.
Yeah. Just for us. Well, thank you. Before we start to sound more like perfs, thank you so much for everyone for listening and stopping by and checking us out. Don't forget to subscribe. We have so much more in store for you. So many more stories and everything. And just remember, friends, if you've kept your kids alive another day, you've done a great job. Thank you so much, everyone.
Bye.